So sometimes I say really weird stuff, not because I want to, but it's just how my brain works. And sometimes I benefit from that personally. Sometimes our business benefits from my weirdness. Sometimes it is a problem. It gets me in trouble personally in relationships. Rarely does it get us in trouble from a business standpoint. But Kristen, this week, I had one of the weirder things come out of my mouth during a business conversation.
Oh, no.
And I'm not sure what the result was other than just a really awkward moment that we all shared collectively. Hello, everyone. It's Spade the Platter Show. Kristen's back.
Hello.
Welcome back.
It feels weird when you're away from the show for 21 days, I think. To come back is a weird thing.
Well, you're coming off of what I deem to be the worst show we've ever done, which was last week.
Not the best show.
Look, my brain wasn't there. It was not good. So hopefully our listenership has not been cut in half to one listener. Hello, Jason. Hello, Jeremiah. Wow. Someone's got time on their hands. And hello, Andy. So, Kristen, I was on a Zoom call with a couple of professional folks that I've gotten to know over the last month or so. They work help our organization with something. So like friendly, we know each other. Mm-hmm. We've never met in person, but we meet every time on Zoom.
Okay.
Oddly enough, they're about 150 yards down Meridian Street. So the fact that we haven't met in person is even dumber.
Weird. Yeah.
And the call, you know, sometimes you get into a Zoom call, you come off a previous Zoom call, and then just like the small talk starts and you're just like, you're already going from the last one and then you're going back to small talk. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get on the call and someone on the call says, "Oh, hey, I love your shirt," to me. Okay. And it was a fine shirt. I mean, it was a new shirt. So it was neat that someone complimented me on it, but my brain is not in small talk mode. My brain is like hardcore mode, practical mode.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to say, but I had to say something. And a human, Kristen, would say, "Thank you."
Touche.
But my brain starts trying to solve for what seems like a Rubik's Cube. And I said, "Thanks, it covers my flesh." And it came out.
That's so on brand.
It was shocking. I shocked myself.
Who from our organization was on that call?
No one.
No one, just you.
No one. I was representing our organization.
Love it.
I apologized immediately and I was like, "I don't know why I said that and I'm sorry." But that is the torture that it is to be me sometimes.
Oh, that's funny.
The thing is, it's like sometimes, at least early on, I would try to be provocative or funny. And sometimes I still try to be funny, but if I'm being honest, my brain's just like, my words are byproduct of my brain. So whatever comes out mm-hmm. and good or bad. And that was not the best moment.
Yeah. You got to, just like last week's radio show, right? You got to take the good with the bad.
Boy, it was bad. Okay. Well, here's what we're doing this week. It's the gender episode. Kind of. Yeah. So it's the gender episode. Kind of. Kristen came up with a really good idea. We're going to explore it today. We'll see which direction to go. Do you want to give a little context before we go to the radio folks, the less important folks?
No, because I think the context is really important for both parties. Mm-hmm. I would just say that if you're on the podcast and all you've heard is we're talking about gender, I know some of you, that's like your least favorite thing for us to talk about. But I promise once we get into it, you'll understand where we're going.
And just to be sure, hello, we get Caitlin back as a viewer since you're back.
Because I'm back, yeah.
Great. This is not like a gender reveal. Can we call this a gender reveal in some way?
I'm not going to say that. I don't need it.
Kristen, if for some reason in the future of your life here on this earth area, you choose to have children, human children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a gender reveal is in your cards?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. There, no. No.
Mrs. Planner and I, when I almost said when we were pregnant with our daughter, which you know is fine, but you know, sure, I had a sore back, but it was a poor shoe choice more than anything. We just went to dinner. We had an envelope, and we ordered an appetizer, and it came out. We opened the envelope. Oh, it's a girl, and that was it.
They're perfect, perfect.
But then we blew up the restaurant with blue smoke, and then no, okay. Let's just do it. Let's just do this. Dame is on assignment. What is Dame doing? He's on PTO, vacation, swim meets.
I think the Aquaduns.
Oh, yeah. Do you think when he watches in the stands as a show of solidarity that he'll wear a Speedo?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's doing.
Dame's in pretty good shape these days. I'm going to just take a second. Kristen, you do whatever you have to do. I'm going to picture him in a Speedo.
Why?
Okay. Well, because he's put in a lot of work on his frame.
He has, but he also told me recently that he's been on an Oreo kick, and I haven't seen him in person in a couple of months. So,
do you really think someone can Oreo themselves into alone just Oreos?
According to Damien, yes. Like that's like his kryptonite is the golden double stuffed Oreos.
Golden?
Yeah. The like not chocolate cookie. Are they vanilla? I don't know.
No one knows. Hello, J.O. Kristen, I'm just thinking about Damien and Speedo here. Where would he put his flashlight? where would he possibly store that?
You have to use your phone.
Oh, where would he put his phone? In his swim cap. Bald men don't need to wear swim caps, though, do they?
That's true.
Anyway, let's say Dame's driving in the car with his family and they're listening to this live right now.
No chance. No chance.
Okay. Oh, hello, Rochelle. Sliding in late. Just in time for us to talk about Dame and his Speedo.
Good job, Rochelle. Yeah.
Okay. Let's start the show in 3, 2, 1. This week on the Pete the Planner Show, we answer your money questions. Here's how the show works. You email us, askpete@petetheplanner.com. That's askpete@petetheplanner.com. And we will do our darndest to get you a reasonable answer. Will we type it into ChatGPT and just read back what some sentient being says? Maybe. Probably not at this point. Kristen Alanius joins me, Director of Education and Advice, or Advice and Education. Do you know the order?
It is Education and Advice.
At Your Money Line. We actually talked in the last couple of weeks on the show about your new role. So congratulations in a 6-month delay. There you go. Kristen, welcome back. You've taken a couple of weeks off.
Yes.
Sort of a Kate Middleton, a couple of weeks out of the public situation, but you were back. So I don't know anything about that, but my wife told me about it, so I tried to act like I know. Kristen, speaking of a person named Kate, this week we're going to talk about women and investing. Hey, maybe this does fit in.
Hey, maybe it does.
Talk to me about the concept of the show today. I love it when you explained it, but I have a small brain. I cannot re-explain it.
Touche. So we were talking about a session that we wanted to put together at Your Money Line, and we were talking about the importance of maintaining financial independence, if you will, for women, especially as they navigate their romantic relationships. And I got to thinking about the conversations that I've had over the years at Your Money Line, and I'm sure the conversations you've had too, Pete, about what would, and the place that I came to was, what would the previous generation to me, so like my aunt, my mom, what advice would they give to me to ensure that future me got to lead a financially well life? And I got to this place of, it's so important to maintain your own financial identity and independence as a woman.
Okay. I love it. So let's explore it. For a point of disclosure, I am not a woman. Right? Is that fair?
That's fair. I am a woman.
Okay, great. And That is to say, I want to describe a landscape of how the financial world has worked for the last 9 decades or so.
Yeah.
Okay. And please correct me, Kristen, if I'm wrong. Here's how it works. Men have typically been the breadwinner within the majority of time within this 9-decade period. Mm-hmm. From a social perspective and how families and relationships are socialized, men have been the predominant decision makers over the majority of that time frame. Mm-hmm. Wealth as accumulated for the majority of that time frame has been accumulated in men's names, mm-hmm. not even in joint tenancy, but in men's names. And one of the primary reasons for that, and I'm sure we'll get into it during the show, is if a man is at a job and is the primary breadwinner and the primary means of accumulating money is a 401k, which is associated with the man's social security number, in itself, by design, the man is going to accumulate more money in their name. So that is a very distilled, overly simplified look at the last 9 decades of men and money. Kristen, any corrections or additions?
No, I think no corrections. So I think to add on to that, to kind of continue that conversation, and this is where you and I both love this phrase of like, correct me if I'm wrong or if you feel differently. So please, that invitation exists here as well. But one of my both favorite and least favorite conversations to have is with a oftentimes newly, but single woman over 50.
Okay, so a newly single woman over 50. This is someone who has had a relationship transition of some sort, whether a breakup or a divorce, or someone has passed away. Mm-hmm. And it's eye-opening to them, and often, I would assume, filled with various levels of regret of, I wish I would have done it differently.
100%. When I, and of course, what's so hard is we're speaking generally. There are tons of women watching this that have been through this and they're like, this didn't apply to me. I love that. I'm so excited for you. But this is something we see so often in our work is I pick up the phone or I call someone and I have a woman on the other end of the phone who is managing her personal finances for the very first time, trying to understand the reality of the quadro that she has now, or the debt that she didn't know was in her name, or managing even just the basics of like logging into accounts that now she's managing, or how do I care for the house that I've lived in this whole time, but now I'm living, I was cohabitating. Now I am the sole owner, resident of this home. And that first conversation is often one of the worst conversations we have to have in this job, because it, to your point, is often filled with like, could have, should have, would have.
Do you feel like, and maybe this is the next segment altogether, do you feel like there's different tips for women that are earning money and women who are a stay-at-home part of the relationship, who doesn't have or don't have incomes tied to their name, to their social security number? Do you feel like there's the same sort of rules or standards, yeah, or do you feel like it's different?
I think that I have like 10 that I kind of want to work through.
Yes.
And I think that some are more applicable to like the stay-at-home mom versus a working like spouse, but I think some might be more applicable for this side of the equation than this, but I do think that broadly they still apply. Does that make sense?
I think if you're going to use pejoratives like broadly to describe women, I'm sorry. I do want to say before we get going, and this is not virtue signaling, although anytime you say this is not virtue signaling, I think by definition you're virtue signaling.
Yeah.
If this discussion today makes you mad because you feel like it's inappropriate, or if it makes it feel too progressive, probably time to dig a little bit deeper and ask why it angers you so much, because this is honestly just out of equality and equity. That's it.
Yeah. What's really hard about these conversations is there's always going to be someone who says, like who feels marginalized because they can relate to this experience, but they can't relate to the group that we're speaking to specifically. There are tons of single men who these tips would apply to them as well. And by saying, hey, this is about maintaining financial independence for women, then it somehow feels like it's maybe trivializing their experience or making them feel less than, not the objective. It's just that it's Women's History Month. I'm a woman and I'm a girl's girl. So that's what we're talking about today.
Fantastic. All right. Let's get at least one or two of these. What are we calling this? The questions, top, what are we calling it?
I just like best stuff. Practices. Great. Yeah.
Well, have at it.
So I think we have to get this one out of the way, because if we didn't say it, it would be like, why didn't you say it? But it's also a no duh. It's just communication. Like, you have to talk. We talk about that all the time on this show, but you have to talk about money in your household, whether you're the traditional income earner or not.
I think this is, it's both an obvious statement and something people avoid because it can break down really easy. Because mm-hmm. I'll say at least 20, 30 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, but probably not. If there was an earner and someone who wasn't earning, sometimes dollars equaled votes, right? It's, I'm making the money. I'll decide what we do with it. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly the way it was for quite some time. It's kind of gross in retrospect. And so, I think people kind of sweep this under the rug from the very beginning because communication can be difficult. Now, let's do this. I know we've hit one of your 10 of your best practices, but we needed to set it up for the whole show. The rest of the show is dedicated to this topic, women and money, separate financial lives together. How does all of that work? It's all going to be driven by, of course, Kristen Lanius, Director of Education Advice at Your Moneyline, right here on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. Yeah, Kristen and co, really. Do we need an Alexander Joyce update on the show right now?
No. Is there an update?
There's always an update.
Lovely.
And again, for those that love disclaimers, I have nothing against this person. I just find the whole thing absolutely fascinating. Oh. But it's starting to feel like I have something against them because I've been talking about it on the show. But I don't. He has an eviction. I think they're being evicted from their offices today. Eviction hearing.
Good, good, good.
Look, I just don't want people to be taken advantage of. Here's the other thing. Never mind. All right, is this going the way you want it to go,
Chris? Yeah. Yeah. The only thing we didn't touch on, and we can just, I guess, say it here on the podcast, is that what we tend to see in these conversations is that often there are women who are very hyper independent when it comes to their money. And sometimes there are women who are very, very dependent. And my job is to not tell you what level of involvement you need to have or like how to run your personal relationship. But we do have to like be proactive about who runs our personal finances. So it's okay. It's okay if you want to be not the financial decision maker in your household, but you still have to be part of the conversations.
Fair. Hello, Lil Spence. Hello, Chris. Amy, welcome to Lil Braga. We already said Rochelle. Okay. You want to go back at it here?
Yeah.
I'm all fired up. We got Kristen's top 10 broad tips for broads. Is that what you called it?
It's exactly what I said. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Just kidding. My daughter may have gotten her first real job this week other than soccer reffing.
Really?
She turned 15 this week, which is kind of wild.
Wow. How do you feel about that?
It's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every day is a cliffhanger. She starts taking driver's ed online here next week and then we'll get her permit, but she and I've been out driving in the school parking lot for a while. So I'm not really too worried about that.
That's fair.
I am going to have to save money to buy a car, or help buy a car for her, mm-hmm. out of practicality, not out of luxury, because it will make our lives easier if we don't have to drag her everywhere. Yeah. I mean, look, I've said it before, you know, it relates to teaching kids about money. All I want is for, at least for my kids, and everyone can do what they want with their kids, I want my kids to have a desire to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good starting point for my children. So, and so far, so good.
Good.
She'd be coaching, teaching gymnastics and cheer.
That's fun. That's a really fun first job. It's not going to make her miserable. A lot of time your first job is like the worst.
Hostess at Don Pablo's.
For people to be mean to you and you're like, I'm just a kid. Like,
Of course, she's telling me about this. I'm like, okay, well, what are the insurance requirements needed? Do I need to call my insurance person and be like, does our umbrella cover
my kid?
My kid.
As an instructor.
Todd, if you're watching this right now, my insurance guy. Todd, if you're watching this right now or listening, does my umbrella insurance cover my daughter's ability / inability to spot small children while flipping upside down?
Something tells me no.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. My first job was a plumber's assistant. So go figure.
Yeah. That tracks.
It was fun. It's a good time. I had a flashlight in my pocket. 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show. Talking women and money, and instead of having two dudes talk about women and money, we waited until Kristen came back from her sabbatical, aka was working the first week and was on PTO, yet somehow still working the second week. Kristen, welcome back. I think we might owe you PTO. Hello.
Hello. I'm glad to be back.
All right. So we've got a list of things, best practices for women to ensure that they have the best financial outcome possible. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Tip number one was communicate.
Do you want more of a hot take? The first one was like a no-brainer. Yeah. This one's more of a hot take.
What do we have to lose?
Maintain a separate bank account.
That doesn't feel like a hot take. It feels like we're in 2024.
See, but some people have really strong opinions about whether you should commingle all your money or not. And there are absolutely people watching or listening to this that would not agree with like your wife having her own bank account that like you don't have access to.
Can I give you a hotter take?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's religious dynamics to this.
That's fair.
And not from a judgment. That's observational, y'all, of like gender roles in marriage or relationships based on biblical teachings or other faiths. I think sometimes what I've witnessed, at least, is a willingness to usurp power financially from women, and it manifests itself in banking. How about that?
I don't think your observation is not incorrect. We see that a lot. And there's a few different reasons for this. I mean, one, it's practical, right? If you share all of your accounts, how do you surprise your spouse with a birthday present if you share all of the same accounts? Like they know already, and maybe you don't even participate in those types of things anyway. Or, but from a realistic perspective, we talk often about women who feel that they can't leave the situations that they're in because of the financial reality. And there are absolutely women who are forced to be in relationships because of the financial dynamics. They don't have access to funds to escape their situation. And if you're someone in that situation, to suddenly say, hey, I want my own bank account, is probably not something that we can just launch into that relationship dynamic. But when I think about what would a future generation tell me, is to say, hey, you should maintain your own bank account because it's best practice. You just never know what could happen.
I know my role on the show has always been to just say unhelpful things. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that again.
Great.
I wish that when we started with this point, this practice that you just mentioned, women should always have their separate banking account. I wish that wasn't deemed a hot take. Like there's just no reason for it to even like culturally be considered a hot take. I think there are reasons not to. Certainly there are reasons not to have women having their separate checking accounts, but there's a lot more really good reasons why every adult should, every adult, let's take gender out of it. Yeah. Because on some level, Kristen, this conversation can be about same-sex couples.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with the dynamics of a relationship where someone possibly earns less or nothing compared to the other person. So yes, 100% someone should have access to their own money, even if they don't earn money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that itself is people are going to argue about.
Oh, they absolutely are. Because then it opens up this can of worms about like, well, then are you like giving your partner an allowance? Like someone will just run with that.
Yeah. I'll just say this, like in my household, I'm the income earner, but I view it as our income collectively. And so we have separate checking accounts because it's just ours. So we don't, I don't particularly care who earns it. But whatever, this isn't about me. What's tip number three?
Attend meetings with the financial professionals in your life.
Man, that's where it goes off the rails pretty fast. Because it's like, oh, that stresses me out. I don't like the finances. Mm-hmm. This is your friend from college. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I think this also gets into the gender of financial advisors.
It does. And there's a stat that I use in a presentation that I give sometimes that 7 out of 10 widows change advisors within 1 year of their husband's death, which there could 7 out of 10. So what are the reasons for that? Is it because maybe I moved then to be closer to kids or grandkids? So just geographically, I needed to change. Was it because when I sat down with this individual as a widow, I said, I don't know why we ever worked with this person in the first place. And there could be a number of reasons why that happens. But what I know to be true is a lot of them are because those women are not participating in those conversations. And if we are participating in those conversations, would those outcomes look different? Or would we be talking about different things if I were in the room as the woman in that relationship?
So I've got, I don't know, hundreds of, if not thousands of friends in the financial industry, thousands of friends in the financial industry. And most of them are men. And so when I say what I'm about to say, I risk them getting mad at me and I don't care. Seek out a financial planner who is a woman. And there's a lot of practical reasons. There's a lot of studies around risk and discernment and just so many different things. That's not to say fire your male advisor, but if you don't have a financial advisor and you're going to dip your toe in the water, start with a woman. Why not? Mm-hmm. There's just no reason not to, especially if you're a married couple, because it will keep both people interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes the dynamic, the perspective of the conversation. I think that's a great, great idea.
It is. When I was a young whippersnapper growing up in this financial industry, the best, most well-respected financial advisor in Central Indiana, who was CFP, Certified Financial Planner of the Year nationally, I believe a couple times in a row, was a woman by the name of Elaine Beadle, who still to this day is just a powerhouse in the financial world. Mm-hmm. And I hate that there has to be this trailblazing aspect of gender still in 2024 in financial advising, because it's kind of silly. Even if you go the who can you trust route, how many Ponzi schemes and fraud cases have you seen with women as financial advisors? Let me do the none, zero, none, literally zero. I've never heard of one. So there you go.
You'll get an email about that now.
I don't care. I don't read my email. What's next? Oh, we only have a little bit of, man, this is three segments. I told you. Are we on number three?
We're on like three or four, I think.
Okay, what's next?
This one is a huge can of worms. So we might have to go into the next segment. Work to maintain retirement equality.
I don't know what else is on your list. Yes, you sent it to me, but it's not like I do show prep.
Absolutely not.
Chris, I can't imagine anything else we're going to talk about today is more difficult than what you just said.
I know. That's why I probably shouldn't have said it with like less than a minute to go in the segment.
just on earnings alone, because of the way employer-sponsored retirement plans work, it's virtually impossible. It's virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You absolutely have to have, you have to be really proactive about is in dual income houses. This is hard in dual income houses too, to say, are we saving at the same rate? How is this working for us? And we can dig into that more in the next segment.
And that's exactly what we'll do, because a 401k is 3x what you can put into an IRA. And we'll explore why that matters next on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. I love that we're doing a show on gender. And I just physically gave you a wrap it up and quit yapping sign on camera.
It's fine.
And I'm so uncomfortable. Hey, can you quit being so lippy?
Can you quit taking up all my airtime?
Jiminy Christmas, so shrill. I'm sorry. Everyone knows I'm joking. I don't mean those things.
So last week I did watch the show back. And
why?
Between...
You hate yourself?
Yeah. And between the first and second segment, maybe you asked Dame if you guys had a third segment and he was like, no. And you did this, like, you were like, where's Kristen? And you were like, Kristen. And it was giving Tom Hanks in Castaway calling for Wilson. And I almost clipped both of them and sent it to the both of you, but I didn't feel like putting that much effort in. So.
Since we're talking about women today, I went on a hot date yesterday at lunch with a woman, my wife. Yeah. I love my wife so much. But I've yet to cross over to the bumper sticker that I love my wife bumper sticker.
That's good. Yeah.
I think we've actually talked about the, I love my wife bumper sticker, in like the practicality of it. And like, who is it for? Is it for your wife to see it? But I mean, it's bumper stickers in general. It's like, so let's say there's a guy with a beard who's wearing like dark Lee jeans. Like, I'm just painting a picture for you.
Okay.
But he's got like on white Reeboks.
Okay.
And a rugby shirt, but not like I play rugby, but I bought this in 94 and it still fits.
Okay.
And he's got a Ford Splash truck. And there's a bumper sticker that says, I love my wife. And he gets out of it and he's got his cell phone clipped to his belt. I'm just painting a picture. I mean, I'm not, nothing specific here. Who is the bumper sticker for? Is he trying to inspire me to go rugby? Is he trying to tell his wife who's not convinced because this guy's got so many options? Like, Kristen, who is the I love my wife bumper sticker for? Is it for the kids?
No. It's for the wife's friends.
This is why you're a genius, because I had would never have thought.
Yeah.
He wants the wife's friends to know what a good husband he is. Is this passive aggressive because he thinks the other husbands are jerks?
It's an alpha male thing among their respective partners is what it is. Yeah.
By the way, yeah. Eric may have made the point of the year here in the live stream. Hold up, Kristen making a movie reference. Kristen, no. We had a team activity yesterday, and I was not concerned that when it came to the movie quotes section of the game, that you were gonna do well, because you've never seen a movie. No. How is it that you just made a Tom Hanks Castaway reference?
It is one of the very few movies I've seen, and for what it's worth, I got none of those answers right yesterday in the trivia game, and no one is surprised by that.
Have you ever seen a I love my husband bumper sticker?
I in a previous version of my life, lived in a circle where there were a lot of bumper stickers. And
wait a second, we're gonna have to talk about that off the air, because I have to ask some very pointed questions that are inappropriate to ask.
Okay, you can ask those questions. You can ask those questions off the air, but I've seen a lot of those types of bumper stickers in my life. Yeah, I have.
But I think they were, but I, again, this is not here to start peeling back the curtain on your life. That's not the point of today's show. But I have to think that it didn't say, I love my husband. I think there was another word.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cryptic. People are dying to know.
No one cares.
No one cares. But you know what? That's a little, arguably, a little deeper than the relationship itself. I mean, there's some other elements at play there.
Mm, yeah, but... we'll talk about it off the air.
Who on our show? No. Let's go that direction. Who on our show? Because I was about to say who in our organization, but that's we don't need to bring.
Don't bring other people. Yeah.
Who in our show is the most likely to have an "I love my significant other" bumper sticker? It's got to be me.
I was going to say Damien. Are you kidding?
You think so?
On their. Like more family vehicle though.
He's the car guy. He would never put a bumper sticker on anything.
He would not put a bumper sticker on the car that he drives, but on the vehicle that he, you think you're going to put a bumper sticker on your car?
No.
I love how neither of us thought it was me. It is absolutely not me. Like, not going to be me.
I feel like your person would put an "I love Kristen" bumper sticker on something.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Not even a little.
I feel like I want to make a custom one and send it to him.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, let's do the show in 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show, talking women and money. Here's the thing. We are not yet in a world in which women are on equal financial ground. Just plain and simple. You can't say it much differently than that. Some of it are centuries of economics and socialization and discrimination. And some of it we can address with the stance we take in our own households. Our hope today in listening to this discussion is that if this upsets you, then it's a good opportunity for you to ask, why is this so upsetting to you? Kristen, here's what I've learned about myself. When someone says something about me to me, and it upsets me to no end, I have to breathe and then figure out why it's so upsetting. And oftentimes what I find is that I'm the jerk.
Yeah, I get really defensive too, because I try really hard to always be putting my best foot forward. So when I feel called out, immediately I am defensive.
We're back to this one. We go like, try to have... what do you say, equal balances, or try to create a scenario in which retirement accounts, specifically qualified accounts that you generally don't access till you're 59 and a half, that there's some level of equality within those accounts. As a person, as a one income household, that would be really, really, really hard for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to work in every situation, but even in those dual income households, it's so important that we're saving for retirement at the same pace. Even if there's income discrepancy, it's like, okay, but we're both saving 10% of our income, so that at the household level, we're saving 10%. It doesn't necessarily have to be. So I take this back to a conversation that I had some years ago about a couple that were very, very proactive about this, where the husband said that they actually contributed more as a percentage to their wife's account than his account, because that was really important to him. That if, you know, of course they planned to spend their whole life together, but they felt like their income at the household level was all the same. Like, this is our income, so why shouldn't our retirement balances reflect that? And the reality is that if they would separate as part of their divorce, would she receive some of that money? Perhaps. But I think it was just like, it was really, I think, touching to me to hear him say that that was so important to him, to make sure that she felt like she had equity or equality in their retirement accounts.
Did that person have an "I love my wife" bumper sticker?
Probably, yeah.
This is interesting, because what I can hear the other perspective on this is, what's it really matter? Our money is our money, and it's hers as much as mine. But if that is the approach, and you try to mitigate risk, like what could go wrong? She is still bearing the brunt of the risk in that scenario, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And then you get into these situations sometimes, like Dame had this really, really great case not long ago where a woman received a qualified domestic relations order, where she received retirement dollars as part of her divorce. And then she was concerned about not being able to support her children because she was still raising her children. She had full custody of them and was looking at potentially using some of those retirement dollars. And when those dollars come from someone else's retirement account after the fact, they feel different. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. In if we wouldn't have received these dollars as part of a divorce, my advice would be absolutely don't touch the money to sustain your household. But the conversation feels differently because of the origin of the dollars. So I think that's part of the dynamic too.
What other best practices should we consider today?
Make sure you know your shared liabilities.
Make sure you know your shared liabilities. Do you, by liabilities, do you mean debt?
Anything that you would, anything that your name is on. Is it your mortgage? Is it, and make sure you understand if your name's not on the mortgage. Like, so for example, what if you're, let's say you're dating someone, they own a home.
If I'm dating someone, can you please not tell my wife?
I am a girl's girl. I'm telling your wife yesterday.
Okay. I would not date anyone. I don't want to get in shape. Go ahead. Continue.
So if you're dating someone, let's say I'm dating someone, okay, and he owns a home and I then move into that home. We get married. That home's in his name. What happens in the event that there's a split, or especially if we're not married and there's a split? I don't have any claim to that home. My name's not on it. I'm not building any sort of credit in my name. So that side of the scenario, the equation is super important, but also understanding what your name is on is supremely important.
Okay. I was listening to you and I was considering every word you're saying. And, okay, and at times I'm going, it's a good point. In a perfect world, yes, yes, this, that. But then you say, because if you don't, then maybe someone is not building credit. In the event that something happens, they have no credit. Hook, line, and sinker, you got me. Like, that is, that alone is reason to do this.
Yeah, that's actually one of my tips, is to build and maintain credit. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with someone, we're looking through their financial reality, and then we pull up their credit report and I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, it's a car. And I'm like, I thought you didn't have a car payment. And they say, well, I don't. And I'm like, your credit report says otherwise. And they're like, oh, that's my ex-partner, my ex-spouse. It's their car, but they didn't have good enough credit to refinance it, but they drive it and they make the payments. And I'm like, but what if they don't?
This is enlightening. I'm so glad we're doing this. What's next?
Get a prenup.
Okay. Wait, so earlier in the show, you like have separate banking accounts. This is the hottest take we're going to have.
I didn't say then, hottest.
Wow, you were like, this is a hot take. And now we get to just casually, hey, get a prenup. With no warning. No warning. What if I was drinking a hot beverage?
Well, the good news is though, the radio listeners can't see you. I can, and you weren't. And as the show goes on, I feel as the show goes on, I get less concerned sometimes, I think.
Sometimes I forget that you've been on the show for less than 2 years, correct?
Yeah, actually.
You're so good at this. You're so good at this.
Thank you.
And it's like, I just had a moment there. I'm thinking 2 years ago, what just happened, which to others may not mean and feel like anything, couldn't have happened. And it happened. And I feel good about that. That being said, prenuptial agreement.
Here's the thing. You have one if you're married. It's just that the state made it for you.
Oh my gosh. What are you writing Hallmark cards now?
No, I heard that from an attorney some years ago and it just really stuck with me.
It's cute. It works. And
it's true.
Yeah.
Like the state has a plan, and if you don't like that plan, then maybe put one together on your own terms.
I always, every time I think of a prenup, I think of, hey, if you love me, you get a prenup. And then I think, well, if you love me, you wouldn't ask. And then it just like goes back and forth. It's like gift of the magi. I sell my watch to get you a clip for your hair, and you sell your hair to get me a fob for my watch. It's the gift of the magi. Anyway, what? You've never read Gift of the Magi?
No.
I take back what I said about 90 seconds ago about you. So if do you, you've just given this tip, and this is something that you would personally employ if necessary.
I absolutely, if I got married, would have a prenup. Yeah.
That wasn't a judgmental, but it sounded like one.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm, you know, this is not the best topic for me. And it, the reason is I've been married. This is my 24th year of marriage. I got married when I was a child. I was 22. My wife was also 22, and she actually looked like a child at the time. So it just feels like me not knowing what I'm talking about by trying to talk about this topic. So I am just going to be a listener on that one. Can you hit us with one more with 10 seconds left?
Work with either a financial therapist or a licensed marriage family therapist as part of all of this.
Wow. Now I got a new advisor and they're a therapist. That sounds expensive. Coming up after the break, you know what else is expensive? The biggest waste of money of the week. And the news right here on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. The winning channel just lit up.
Did it?
Take a look.
I am.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Lovely. Okay.
Go, Leah.
I am so proud of you. I you're so good at this.
Thank you. That's so kind.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. It's just the truth. I was telling your boss about this just the other day. So there you go.
Thank you.
I am in fact not your boss, which is best for everybody in the world, especially you.
I think it allows, it would be really interesting, I feel like, if you were my direct supervisor for like this interaction specifically. I don't know if it would be like, I think it would be different. So I'm glad you're not.
Yeah, no, I think no one needs that. Anywho.
I only have three news stories, by the way. So please don't, after the third one, please don't say what else is in the news, because nothing's in my news.
You know what? Let's see how good you've gotten at radio by saying that after the third news story.
Don't.
With the average age of those getting married on the rise, she's not wrong. She has a name. I'm just kidding. Sorry. People are already established versus two broke kids getting hitched. That's
right.
That's like, I mean, Sarah and, sorry, pardon me, Mrs. Planner and I. Oh my gosh. I'm not, I, it's not that I don't mention her name because it's like Voldemort. It's more of, it's more that she just doesn't want to have anything to do with this.
That was fabulous. Yeah, I have a milestone birthday coming up. So maybe I feel that's like why. 50? Yeah, I feel that maybe that's why I lean more into being okay with that. Because I think if I rewound the clock 10 years, I would be like, if you love each other, why are you getting a prenup? Like, I think the wisdom came with my age there.
Yeah, I'm an older fellow. First soccer weekend, official soccer weekend of the spring starts tomorrow. Tournament for young Theodore. Very excited.
I can't relate.
I have to say my greatest pleasure is sitting on a sideline watching my kids do whatever activities they're doing. But I love watching them play soccer. Love that.
Okay, so that's interesting because as LinkedIn user, unfortunately on our side, no, you don't. I'm
the
sorry.
Funniest thing is LinkedIn user just tried to trash me and say I have a name too, Peter, but it comes through as a LinkedIn user. So you in fact do not have a name, ma'am or and or sir. Good day to you.
So what's really interesting is as an observer, I live by like an area where there's multiple baseball fields and diamonds and the tennis court and all this stuff in a park. And I don't feel like most parents are enjoying their time personally. When I walk by, it just doesn't really seem like your reality is what I'm seeing as far as the masses are concerned, which is interesting.
I don't want this. here's why I enjoy it. Okay. And here is, and this is me. This is me alone. I know how hard, in specifically around soccer, I know how much work he puts in outside of practice and outside the games. And to me, I love to watch him see the impact of hard work. That's the long and short of it. And that's why that specific thing is more exciting. Like, I watch him play basketball, but I don't feel the same way because he doesn't work like that outside of basketball. So that's Hey, I realize, listener, you don't care. I understand. I don't know why I started talking about that.
I asked.
Thanks, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. This week's biggest waste of money of the week, right here on the Pete the Planner Show, is... Oh, I'm pulling it up. Everyone calm down. Yeah, there it is. The burial crypt near Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner. You may not have gotten a chance to meet them when they were alive, but now you can spend the afterlife not far from Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner with this mausoleum crypt located in the Corridor of Memories, Wall B, Space C3, at Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park and Mortuary in Los Angeles, California. The one space crypt sits just one row above in four spaces to the left of Monroe's. Hefner had a similar idea in 1992 when he purchased the space directly to the left of hers, saying, "Spending eternity next to Marilyn is an opportunity too sweet to pass up." End quote. That is the grossest thing I think I've ever read.
And she had no say in it.
The crypt is now up for auction from Julian's with an estimate that I'm not going to share with you. because that's the whole point of biggest waste of the money week. I have numerous hot takes here that I would like to share with you.
Oh, please fire away.
Number one, that's the grossest sentence I've read on the show in the history of the show.
There is no debate. It made me cringe as you read the copy.
Spending eternity next to Marilyn is an opportunity too sweet to pass up. That is so weird.
No.
Hot take number two, and this is the hottest of takes.
Of the show or like period?
Period.
All right, here we go.
I believe it's heinously selfish to buy a burial plot in any capacity.
Oh.
I know. And I know that I'm like I love to go visit my grandpa's tombstone or gravestone, whatever you call it. I that is meaningful to me. But for me, I'm like, hey, I'm going to claim this spot on the earth forever. Good luck, everyone else, finding your own spot. This is my spot. Like, I personally find that really selfish. Am I judging others who do that? Kind of no. But for myself, it's like, hey, I know that this world has theoretically been here for millions of years and will last at least another 130 or so. But this is my spot. Kristen, what say you?
To your point, we're told that we're running out of the Earth's time, so maybe it's not as big of an issue. But also, something in the copy that caught my attention was that you said this is in L.A. So
yeah.
That's what's really hard is like in a place where there's like seemingly never enough housing and there's such a premium on housing, like taking space forever it is a hard thing because like so many people want to be there.
So Kristen, there is a starting bid for this, but then there is also a prediction of where people think it'll go. Oh. How much do you think? You can choose either the starting bid or you can choose where it'll end.
Por qué no los dos? The starting bid is it 50,000?
Oh my gosh, it's $50,000.
Yeah. Look at me go.
I mean, this is your show. I mean, Kristen and Co. is a thing. Mid six figures is where they think it'll go. And it just seems like a giant waste of money.
That is crazy.
I truly believe this. And I've shared this with Mrs. Planner. I have very specific wishes in the event. Like I want balloon animals being made by clowns at my service.
No.
because I don't like clowns, and I think it'd be really funny, and it would make people so uncomfortable.
I will not be in attendance.
No, but like, think how funny that is.
No, that's awful. Okay, first of all, your service is not about you; it's about other people, and that's not very kind.
But it's my go away. It's like a gift bag at a kid's birthday party. It's like, hey, here's a balloon animal, and or like, hey, this clown made me a dachshund out of balloons. Pete's dead. I just think that's so funny. And I would like to share that with others.
Oh my, I won't be there.
What's in the news this week?
4 years ago this week, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. We love to talk about these unprecedented times. So here's a quick check-in on 5 key metrics to show you how life has and has not changed. So I thought we could kind of guess at these. Okay.
Okay.
So the number of days Americans spend working from home has increased by how many times?
Well, I mean, that's a weird question because there's only 5 work days a week.
No, like, so this is hard because of the way they wrote the statistic. How many fold? Is it like threefold, tenfold?
Threefold.
Fivefold. 2019.
I don't even know what that means, other than you stretch it out beyond like how many a month or whatever. Yeah, that's a thing now. Yes.
Tell us how you feel about people working from home, Pete.
I think it's great. You're from home right now. I worked at home one day last week or 2 weeks ago. Got a ton done.
See, I love working.
I've evolved a little bit.
That's so great. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Domestic air travel. Are we at pre-pandemic levels? Are we still not quite back to where we were? Are we back? Are we past where we were pre-pandemic?
I feel like we're past where we were.
Absolutely. We are above pre-pandemic levels of air travel.
Okay, good, good, good.
Live Nation just had its best year in history in 2023. How many million tickets do you think that they sold in 2023?
It's my household, zero. I have no idea. If you want to talk about the black box of knowledge that exists for me, it's anything to do with live music. I know nothing.
They sold, you don't want to take a guess at how many million tickets?
I don't, Kristen, there's two things I am terrible at. Population in general. And live music facts. So you've just taken the both of them. Okay, I'll give you my best guess. Okay. I'll give you my best guess.
I can't
believe 7 trillion tickets. I don't know.
I said million.
I don't know.
620 million tickets in 2023.
It means nothing to me. It's monopoly.
That's fair.
720 million tickets.
620.
Oh, yep. Okay. Well, that matters. So that's more.
Yes, they had their best year. Of course they did. All my buddies hate Ticketmaster. Zoom shares are down what percent?
Oh, okay.
Since March 11th of 2020.
40%.
How did you know that?
It was a guess.
That was right on. Zoom shares are down 20%.
I'm a business person. Yeah. Hey, can I ask a question about concerts real quick? How many concerts have you been to in 2024?
In 2024,
if you need to just say the last 30 days to be able to count, that's fine too.
I think two.
In 2024?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. It's the spring. Summer's concert time.
It is?
Yeah. I'm trying to go to a concert tonight. So cross your fingers.
You need a I Love My Partner bumper sticker to pull that thing off.
No.
Hey, so how many will you go to in 2024?
Totally depends on what tickets end up being available. I mean, concerts are my preferred discretionary spending. So, and it also depends on who's on tour. Last year, I didn't go to that many concerts because I saw two really big names in concert, and those tickets were so expensive that it just kind of wrecked the budget for the rest of them. But you never know.
I've been to two concerts, two concerts this decade in the last 10 years, I think. Oh, I saw Michael Bublé. It was a business thing. Someone invited me and Mrs. Planner and we sat in a suite.
I have to stop you right there. You've seen two concerts in a decade and you chose to spend one of those experiences on a Christmas album?
No, I didn't choose to do anything. Someone said, do you want to go to a business thing? And I was like, yeah.
And you went?
Because Mrs. Planner wanted to go. Take it up with her. Oh, go ahead and argue with her. Let me tell you how that will end for you.
I've lost.
Her couch is no good. And then the other one, I did see Erykah Badu at the House of Blues in Orlando, but that was like 20 years ago. And it was amazing. And you don't know who Erykah Badu is.
No.
That's the worst part of this. All right. So there's our one news story of the week. Thank you, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. If it made you feel uncomfortable, great. Send you good vibes, because good vibes are all that's in the budget. I'm Pete the Planner. This is the Pete the Planner Show. And we're back. The show is back on its foot. Feet. I was so bad last week. No matter how good Dame is, he couldn't save the show last week from myself.
You have me seriously questioning if I've been to two concerts this year. I went to a concert last week, but I don't know if I've been to another one.
Okay, you get a chance to go to, and we may have to have a non-Taylor Swift answer.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to go to one concert in 2024, and the person has to be alive. You can't be like, oh, I want to see Johnny Cash. In Folsom Prison. What act are you going to see in 2024?
How close I get to be to the stage absolutely is a factor. Yes, it is. But I really wanted to see when they did their world tour, when it was Def Leppard, Joan Jett, and Motley Crue, I can't remember. There were five hair band dad rock 80s rock bands that went together, and I couldn't justify. I was only willing to go if I could be close to the stage. I didn't want to be in the nosebleeds of Lucas Oil, and I couldn't justify the ticket price.
Okay, I want to do a little word association.
Oh no.
Okay, ready? Indoor stadium concert, first word that comes to your mind.
Cody Johnson.
Okay. Outdoor summer concert venue, first thing that comes to your mind.
Alcohol.
Okay. Now I'd like you to ask me those questions.
Indoor stadium concert, first thing that comes to mind.
Parking.
Outdoor stadium concert, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Traffic. I can't imagine. When I think about the Michael Bublé concert that I went to, whenever it was, I still think about the traffic. And I had a 2-week strategy that I employed to get a good parking spot, and I snaked everyone. By far, Mrs. Planner had to run after the concert was over. She was in heels or whatever.
No.
And I was like, let's go. She's like, why are we running? It's like, because there are literally thousands of people trying to head towards the roundabouts. We got to go.
Yeah. It took us an hour to get out of the parking lot at the United Center last week. And we got home at 3:45 a.m.
That ain't the life for me.
Yeah. Because when you guys were like, I wonder if Kristen's watching the show, I had just woken up.
Yeah.
I was sleeping.
Well, this was delightful. I hope people get mad about this show, honestly.
I hope they do, but I hope that, here we go. I hope that they are introspective enough to realize the importance of the conversation.
What I do not want to have happen, there's a woman listening to the show who has, I'm using air quotes, which is always helpful for a podcast, has done it wrong. Yeah. I don't want them to feel disheartened or like a loser. I don't want that. I think I would rather it be more empowering of let's go.
Yeah. And the other side, the thing I didn't say in the beginning, and maybe I should have to kind of prevent some of that, is that the reason why conversations with single women over 50 are some of my favorite is because I know statistically the chances that this woman gets her financial life in to be in the best place after the fact are so high. There's no one that I count on or that I think that I can count on quite like someone who calls me in those situations, because she's gonna figure it out. That's just the reality of the situation.
Thank you for putting this together today.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go to a meeting now.
Good luck.
But I'm not in a rush, Jeremiah. So calm your boss hog of liberty down.
Yeah.
Podcast reference. Kristen, what are you consuming media wise right now that is interesting and you want people to consume?
I am listening to the Matthew Perry autobiography. Mm. And it's very eerie. It starts with talking. Have you listened to it?
No.
One of the very first sentences is about how you should consider something to the effect of you should consider that you're hearing this from beyond the grave, because he narrates his own audiobook. And now after his passing, like hearing someone kind of like talk about something that came to fruition is so, it is a weird thing, but I am listening to it. And so far, very good.
I am listening to Say Nothing, which is a true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland. It's by my favorite writer, Patrick Radden Keefe. I've avoided this book because I have no interest in the topic. However, I love the writer so much, I'm trusting him to take me down a compelling path. The audiobook narrator is Irish, so it's okay. In an Irish accent. So I'm going to try to blow through it on St. Patrick's Day here in a couple days.
On 2.5 times speed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how you learn.
Oh, and also Love is Blind. Great season.
I'm going to... just acknowledge that those were words.
Yeah.
Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. Amazing, amazing show.
Okay. Lost each other now.
All right. Everybody, good luck with your lives this week. I hope they go how you want them to go. Kristen, always good luck with your life.
Thank you.
Stay getting money.